a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. KSL News Time is 12 o'clock noon, and this is Utah's Noon News. I'm Maria Chaleos. KSL's top story this hour. And it is breaking news on KSL News Radio. The verdict is in the Lori Vallow Daybell trial. KSL News Radio's Becky Bruce is live with what we know. Becky?
Maria, we don't know the verdict, obviously, yet, but we do know that we're going to learn what it is coming up in about 45 minutes. We got the word just about 10 minutes ago that the verdict was in and that it was going to be read in the courtroom at 12:45. We do know this is a really quick turnaround. I've been talking to some legal experts who tell me a good guideline is 1 hour of deliberation for each day of testimony. There have been more than 20 days of testimony, so doing some quick math there, that tells me the jury already had a pretty good idea of what they were debating going into the deliberations before they got the case last night. Now, Lori Vallow Daybell faces 6 felony charges. The jury does not have to find her either guilty or innocent on all 6. There is a first-degree murder charge for the death of Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallow, then a series of conspiracy charges related to the death of both children and Tammy Daybell, Chad's late wife. Vallow Daybell is also accused of theft related to Social Security benefits for the children. When that verdict comes in, of course, you're going to hear it live right here on KSL News Radio. Live, Becky Bruce, KSL News Radio.
ABC News legal contributor and host at the Law and Crime Network, Brian Buckmeyer, says there have been many things for the jurors to consider.
I think they're really nitpicking. I think they really listen to the defense, and they're trying to see what that connective tissue between what Chad did, what Lori did afterwards, and whether or not she actually murdered them or simply just conspired.
Now, KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas joins me live on the KSL Newsline. Greg, are you surprised at the quick verdict?
I am, actually, Maria. I thought with a trial that went this long, this many days, weeks even, that a verdict would go into this evening. I expected it before the weekend, but I certainly didn't expect it before lunch today.
Yeah. Is there anything we can read into just how quickly they did come to this conclusion?
I mean, I'm just guessing from my distance away, but I think it's a very bad sign for Lori and her attorneys. I would suggest that if a verdict came back this quickly, that they're probably going to convict her of every count. Because if they were hanging up or considering acquittal on one or other or more, they would have deliberated longer and tried to talk each other into going one way or the other. So my guess is that they're probably going to convict her of everything with this quick of a verdict.
Is there one piece of evidence that was striking to you that would lead them to coming to this immediate conclusion, something that you saw that maybe would sway the jury one way or another?
Well, I think the state did a really good job, Maria, of painting Lori as a person who was callous and cold toward her kids, and that she and Chad had this weird idea about that. And so the motive was all there, the whole sex, money, and power. But the piece of evidence that I think put him over the top was Lori's hair found on the tape that was used to bind little JJ. And it was like a 1 in 71 billion chance that it wasn't her. And of course, that's greater than the population of the whole planet. So that was a very compelling piece of evidence.
So we know the verdict will be read at 12:45, but what happens after that?
She's currently in custody, so her custody status won't change. She'll remain where she is. And I'm assuming that she's going to be convicted. If she's acquitted, I guess she goes home. But if she's convicted, they would schedule what's called a sentencing proceeding, probably in 30 to 60 days, and allow the Idaho Probation Department to prepare a report and give the judge a recommendation on what her sentence should be. But she certainly won't be sentenced today.
Greg, any final thoughts before I let you go?
I'm sure her attorneys will say that they're going to appeal.
Okay, and I'm afraid that we
she's going to be found guilty today.
Okay, Greg, thank you. You're breaking up. And as Greg just said, that he's certain that her attorneys will say that they are going to appeal. And we will have the verdict live at 12:45 on KSL News Radio. And we are going to check in with Hugo Ricard Bell here in just a second. Let me go to another story before we do that. Calls for AAA roadside assistance increased up to 25% during the summer months because of the damaging heat, that damage that it can cause to your car. KSL News Radio's Alessandra Harris has details.
Summer heat can cause significant damage to your vehicle.
It's the summer heat that's really hard on the battery. It melts the electrolyte coatings on the lead plates inside the battery and stuff, and that's usually what will, you know, ruin a battery or end the battery's life.
Don Medford, store manager for Burt Brothers, says that along with engine problems, heat can also negatively affect tire and engine pressure, belts, hoses, and various fluids. He says the best thing to do to prepare is to take your car in for a checkup before any trips. Alessandra Harris, KSL News Radio.
And again, our top story this half hour is that the verdict is in the Lori Vallow-Daybell case. We know that that will be read at 12:45. KSL News Radio's Hugo Ricard Bell joins me now. And Hugo, you were up in Boise for a portion of this case. What parts of this testimony stood out for you?
Well, Maria, when I was up there, we heard a lot from investigating agents, and it was really interesting hearing them put together some of the details. The interesting thing about listening to people like FBI agents and detectives is they lay out just the facts and they leave the dots for you to join or the jury to join themselves. They don't give any linking statements, nothing like that. It's basically like, according to our data, for example, Alex Cox was in this location at this time. I also heard from Vallow-Daybell's sister as well, who took the stand. That was a very different testimony. And the prosecution really sort of, while I was up there, bounced between them. And she gave a way more emotional response. They played a phone call to the whole court in front of her. They asked her questions about who she was before she met Chad Daybell. So I think the standout thing for me was just a difference in testimony between the witnesses.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about the mood in the courtroom.
Well, when you're listening to the detectives and the FBI agents, there's a very intense sort of like everyone is paying attention. There's no emotion. It's just these are the facts. I mean, obviously, when autopsy details on the children were brought out, that was a little bit different. I think people were a little bit more on edge then. But it was a very sort of focus. They wanted to hear every single little detail. But then when family members took the stand, you know, I looked around and there were members or members of the public that were in the court that were in tears listening to that phone call and that sort of thing. So I think, yeah, there was definitely an emotional difference between the two testimonies for sure, especially in the atmosphere.
Greg just told us that one of the key pieces of evidence for him was the piece of Lori's hair, the strand of her hair on the piece of tape. Was there something that stood out for you, something like that, or was it that piece of evidence?
Well, when I was actually up there in the court, they started talking about that hair detail that was taken from the duct tape on JJ's body. But the testimony that the detail that really stood out for me was the fingerprints and the handprints from Alex Cox on the bag wrapping JJ Vallow's body. For me, that was the first time I think we'd heard a real finger point as to who was physically in the room. They were building up and building up and building up about the hair, and then when it actually came out in court, that was the week after when Lauren Steinbecker, KSL5's reporter, was in there. That's when that was the first, that for me was also very compelling because it was the first time we heard or got some indication that Lori Vallow-Daybell could have been directly in the room when all this went down.
All right. Thank you, Hugo.
Anytime.
And again, KSL News Radio's Hugo Ricard Bell was live in the courtroom for many of those days. The verdict in this case will be read at 12:45, and we will bring you those details. We'll let you hear that verdict here on KSL News Radio. KSL News Time, 1209. Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. It's brought to you by Granite Credit Union, helping members since 1935. Any problem spots, Ricky?
Only one, and it's due to road work, but it is restricting lanes of travel in multiple directions at the intersection of 5600 West, 5400 South. Other than that, it's a quiet start to your Friday noontime drive on all the Valley freeways. The best blanket ever is the best Mother's Day gift ever. A Minky Couture blanket is the gift she'll love. Visit your local Minky Couture for special neighborhood deals or minkycouture.com. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Beautiful spring weather today with a few clouds around, 72. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy with a low of 51. And for your Saturday, a chance for a storm in the afternoon. Otherwise, really nice, highs in the mid-70s. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kristen Van Dyke.
And it is so nice, 66 degrees in downtown Salt Lake City. Definitely have spring fever. And I got to tell you, I'm ready for some nice weather this weekend. Have so many things to do out in my yard to just really get ready to plant. And one of those things is putting down compost and making sure that my flower beds, my vegetable garden are ready to just do their best and produce the best results. That's where the dirt bag comes in. The dirt bag's organic mountain compost or their rich garden soil plus will get your yard off to a great start. And the dirt bag has so many great products to offer for you in those big cubic yard bags. They have everything from that bagged garden soil, shredded bark mulch, their dark or black bark mulch, and also that organic mountain compost. The dirt bag just makes everyone's life easier. They drop off those cubic yard bags wherever you need them just to make it convenient for you. And if you'd like to save a little more money, you can actually go out to their yard, take your pickup truck, and pick up the bulk product as well. Visit thedirtbag.com for details. That is thedirtbag.com. This is one dirt bag you love.
Start your day with all news in the morning. Then hear Dave and Dejanovic talk about the biggest stories from 9 to noon.
We're weeks away from default.
Raise the debt ceiling. Balance the federal budget over the next 10 years.
Breaking news. Important talk. All morning on KSL News Radio.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTRCM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Want to annihilate payroll problems? Wipe them out with Paycom. Paycom torches timesheet errors like a flamethrower. Oh, obliterates overtime blunders like a wrecking ball. Holy mackerel! And PTO problems? Paycom leaves them pulverized. Wow! Because with Paycom, employees do their own payroll right in the Paycom app. They find and fix errors before payroll submission, so HR can tackle important stuff, like performance incentives and retaining top producers, so your people can crush their goals. And with Paycom, employees enter and manage their own HR info, like onboarding, tax setup, and benefits enrollment. It's all in one powerful software with ironclad security.
Die! Stop doing that!
Sick of HR and payroll headaches? Don't just eliminate them. Demolish them! At Paycom.com.
Holy Cross Hospital is honored to carry the legacy of its namesake and to care for Northern Utah communities. Find 5 hospitals and more than 45 clinics along the Wasatch Front. More at HolyCrossUtah.org.
And KSL News Time is 12:13. If you are just tuning into KSL News Radio, then you know that the jury has reached a verdict in the Lori Vallow Daybell child murder case, and we are giving you wall-to-wall coverage. That verdict is expected to be read at 12:45. You will hear that live here on KSL News Radio. And Becky Bruce has joined me now live in the newsroom. And Becky, we've been hearing from our legal expert. We've been talking to people who have been in the courtroom about this.
Yeah, this is a really fast turnaround for a verdict. I have to tell you, I'm not personally surprised by the speed of it, but some of our legal experts are, and as I'm not one of them, I have to defer to them on whether this was, in fact, fast or not. I was talking to Greg Skordas a little while ago, and he was telling me he tends to use a guideline of 1 hour of deliberation for every day of testimony in a criminal trial like this one. We had more than 20 days of testimony, so he was expecting through the weekend, maybe early next week, we would get that verdict. So what does that tell us about that? Lots of legal minds out there will tell you different things about whether the speed of a verdict means something or doesn't mean something. But in his mind, that does mean that the jury more or less knew headed in what they already thought. They didn't have to sway each other or do a lot of back and forth to come to consensus.
All right. And Becky, we do have KSL-TV's Lauren Steinbrecher on the line with us now live. She has been in the courtroom. She's joining us live from Boise. And you've been watching this, Lauren. Give us some information. What are you seeing?
Yeah, so right now I'm outside the courtroom. You know, we're kind of waiting for that verdict to come in here. But you know, as soon as that word came down, it spread fast. And obviously the air changed from everybody just kind of sitting and waiting to – now we're all on edge, everybody out here, and waiting for that verdict to come down. You know, they went home yesterday at 6:30 p.m. after about 4 hours of deliberations. Weren't quite sure what that meant as far as where they were in the process, and started back up at 9 this morning. We really were not sure. Are they going to go all day, go into the weekend? What does that look like? Now, just a few hours later, we have an answer and looking ahead to that verdict.
So do you see a lot of scrambling, people getting ready to be in the courtroom to hear this verdict?
So the way that it worked out with the courtroom is everybody lined up this morning to get inside because it's first come, first serve. So you had people who were here at 4 a.m, 4 hours before the front doors opened, waiting to get inside so that they could get a spot and then just kind of camp out until something came down. So everybody has already been in the courtroom. They've been sitting there in their seats and only having to sit there for a few hours until getting that notice that the verdict is in. So everybody who wanted to be in there, and we do have people in there, they were in there because they lined up so early this morning.
So, Lauren, you have been there since day one before this trial started. Give us your perspective on covering this.
You know, it's been a tough case. It really twists and turns, still coming out more than 3 years later, that you just can't even comprehend. It's so hard to understand some of these aspects. And even for someone like me that, you know, knows it like the back of my hand, there are still things that you try to remember, you know, and some of those dynamics that were going on. But, you know, I think some of the things that we heard come out in trial really were some of those missing pieces that we've all been wondering for the past 3 years. How did Tammy Daybell die? How exactly did the children die? And remember when this first happened in, you know, January of 2020, right at the end of December 2019, we did not know if the children were alive or dead. We spent 6 months not knowing, every day thinking, are they somewhere safe? What's going on? So then to find out that they've been buried in a spot that many of us had been to, you know, to report on, to knock on Tad's door, that was hard. That was really, really hard. And to be here 3 years later, now waiting to see what's going to happen, there's a lot of anticipation to feel, nervousness. You know, I will say when the defense gave their closing arguments yesterday, Lori's attorney, Jim Archibald, really worked hard to cast doubt on what Lori's role was in all of this, acknowledging that, yes, she knew she didn't have her kids. She knew they were not with her. Who knows what she thought was going on, but did she know that they were murdered and buried in Chad's yard, or was that all Chad and Alex? So it's hard to know what the jurors took away from that, if there was that doubt cast in their minds, or if we're getting a quick verdict because it's guilty on all counts. And so we won't know until, you know, the moment that it's read.
You have mentioned the very striking emotional information that has come out about Lori Vallow Daybell's children and how they died. Is there one moment that stands out to you more than the others in this testimony?
I think for me, the moment that stood out was Audrey Barataro, who was Lori's former friend, simply because none of us could have guessed that was coming. You know, we knew we would find out how JJ and Tylee died. We knew likely that it would be difficult for a death determination for Tylee, which was the case. We knew we would find out about Tammy. But we did not know that a friend of Lori's, you know, says that Lori threatened to kill her. And in the manner that she says Lori threatened to kill her, that was a complete shock to everybody who was in court that day. It just, you're listening to it and, you know, had no idea that that was a piece of testimony that would become part of that. And to me, that is, you know, probably the single biggest thing that will stick out in my mind.
We've talked about the quick deliberations. Oftentimes in court cases, you hear that the jury will come out and ask questions. They just got this case yesterday. Was there any indication, anything that can tell us about what they were thinking from any questions they were asking of the judge or anyone else?
So from our understanding, they did not come out and ask questions. And talking to the court, you know, they told us that if the jurors had questions, they actually have to come back out on record, you know, to handle all of that publicly. So we know that didn't happen. We weren't sure if it was going to happen. Obviously, it didn't. You know, and watching the jurors throughout this trial, and you can imagine they're sitting there from, you know, 8:30 in the morning until 3:30 or later every single day, 60 witnesses. There were obvious moments of, you know, they're kind of sitting there. Are they taking in information? Are they not? But then there are times that they're sitting there, they're engaged, they're taking notes. You can see they're looking maybe a little shocked at what they're, you know, seeing and listening to. But again, after the defense's closing arguments, it's really hard to know what is going on in their minds getting this case fresh a month ago.
Have you had a chance throughout the trial to talk with family members? We know that the children's grandparents have been very emotional about this case and that there probably have been some shocking revelations for them. Have you had a chance to talk with them and get their perspective on what they've been hearing?
Yeah, and I've been talking with Larry, you know, especially when I've been up here daily before and after court. And he sat in court the day that we found out how JJ, you know, some of those details, the pictures that they were showing, and he was just, he just completely broke down and was rocking back and forth and crying. But he did tell me that he was expecting that. He knew that was going to come out. They are pretty aware of most of what was going to be said and most of what was going to happen, from my understanding. So not a lot of it was a surprise to them. I think it was just that emotional toll of actually going through it.
All right. Lauren, thank you so much for your reporting on this case.
Thank you.
And again, the jury has come to a verdict in the Lori Vallow Daybell court case.
The trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. Special coverage on Utah's new news.
And the grandfather of JJ Vallow spoke outside of the courthouse this morning. Our team of reporters was there for that conversation. And let's listen in and hear what he had to say.
I see everybody is here this morning. Thank y'all once again. Y'all been so diligent. Y'all have absolutely worked your butts off. And I'm thankful for that. The media's thankful for that. And so many wonderful people around the world are depending on y'all to keep it up. Today is day two of deliberation. I think that we'll have a verdict today. I was a bit disappointed we didn't have a verdict yesterday. We understand it. And if we don't get a verdict today, hopefully we'll get one tomorrow. But we know we'll get a just verdict, a righteous verdict. And that's all we have ever asked for in this. So thank y'all once again. I'll take a question or two if you got one.
How are you feeling?
I feel wonderful. I do. Got up this morning listening to Willie. How can you start to have a bad day waking up listening to Willie? That is JJ and I's song. We sang that. And if everybody will remember, look back at the bus when I walked on and JJ was playing the microphone, that was the song we sang together. And it may have been one of the, no, it wasn't the last song. We sang other songs. That's the one you remember the most, though.
Some positive attitude there.
Thank you, sir.
They say that all.
Why do you not want to have a positive attitude? Look at it. It's gorgeous. There's not a cloud in the sky. We woke up. Thank God. And I absolutely, you cannot wake up with a positive attitude. But turn out the lights, the party's over, Lori. So, any other questions?
What's the lyric in that song about choosing not to vote?
That song was one of the songs that JJ and I had sang a lot of times when he was riding with me, and amongst other things. I couldn't sing all the songs that he knew because they were hard rock songs. But I knew this one, so I'd sang it with him.
Harry, going back to yesterday, what was it like to sit through closing arguments?
You know, I think it was peaceful, believe it or not, because I think we finally knew that it was coming to some finality. I'm so grateful for the jurors, thankful for the court, and I hope they come back with a righteous verdict. But yesterday was a good day. It was a sad day for a while there to review all of that, but it was a good day.
Did anything surprise you?
No. After 4 years. I don't think there's much been surprised me with this case. And I just thank God we're here. Day two of deliberation. My God, what a wonderful day. Anybody else?
We hope the last day of deliberations.
You know, I feel like it will be the last day of deliberation. But I'll honestly say that if it takes another day, it won't be an issue, and I'm happy to be here every day, and I just feel like we'll get a good verdict. And last night, somebody rewarded this to me, and I just thank everybody. I'm not the world's greatest pawpaw, but I'll tell you what, I hope I was the world's. I hope I was the world's best pawpaw in JPJ. Highly. And thank y'all every day.
And that is Larry Woodcock, obviously speaking with reporters before he knew that the jury had come to a verdict in the Lori Vallow-Daybell case. And obviously he is relieved that things are coming to an end here and hoping for a just verdict for his grandchild that was killed in this case. We know that the verdict is going to be read at 12:45. We will have that for you live here on KSL News Radio. We also have KSL News Radio's Adam Small, who is in Boise. He is in the courtroom. And Adam, what's the latest from there?
Yeah, Maria, right now I'm just seeing the prosecution returning to the courtroom. Everyone is, I'm talking quietly, obviously, because everyone here is a little on edge. Anticipation is very high. I cannot tell you the amount of adrenaline I am feeling in my body right now. We're about little more than 15 minutes away right now from this verdict being read. This room is completely packed. Some people have been here since very early this morning. I was lucky enough to get a seat in here. I've been sitting here for a few hours now. And again, I echo what Lauren said when she said that the word got out quick. As soon as we got word, we just started blowing it out. There's a lot of anticipation in this courtroom right now.
Mm-hmm. Any rumblings from the folks that are in the courtroom?
It's mainly just whispers of people just wondering what's going to happen. I mean, we've been waiting years to see how this story finally ends, at least on Lori's side, because this has been going on a long time, and it's really just the anticipation is at a very high level right now.
And again, Adam is speaking very quietly because he is inside that courtroom waiting for that verdict to be read at 12:45. Adam, what was it like there before the closing or for the closing arguments?
Well, it's really just like for the closing arguments, it was really just a dead silent attention. People were just listening to, you know, the emotion pouring out of both sides of both the prosecution and the defense, really. I mean, we had to look and hear some very hard things yesterday during those closing arguments. The prosecution went over all that evidence again. The state of the children's bodies were found, the alleged scheme that led up to their death, to Tammy Daybell's death. It was hard to watch at times. It's been hard to follow this case than as much as we have for the past few years, where we know it's important, and everyone here is just really anxious to see at this point, after hearing all that, and just they want to hear what the jury has to say. We are there. There is no short attention spans here right now. We're all just waiting.
Hmm. Adam, was there anything that came out, any facts that came out during the trial that could result in charges for anyone else?
I'm not sure at this point because, I mean, really, it's the prosecution really honed in on Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow Daybell, and Alex Cox being the three who were really a part of this whole thing involving the death of the two kids and Tammy Daybell. Because of them being the major players involved, allegedly, that's something that's, you know, it would shock me to see somebody else involved. But the amount of evidence that really stacked up against those three individuals from the prosecution putting on against them, there's a lot to take in. And I don't think the focus would be more on other people, but rather how much was stacked up with the three people named.
All right. Who are we still waiting for to come into the courtroom?
So right now I see the prosecution is here. We're obviously waiting on the jury, Judge Stephen Boyce. Lori's defense attorneys have been here for a little while, but I think they stepped out of the room. So I think we're waiting for them to come back as well. And obviously Lori herself, we're waiting for her to come back at this time. But mostly the court is filled with some court workers, security, Dan Larry Woodcock are here. They've been here all morning, and just spectators, media members, all are just completely filled up the public seats.
You mentioned the emotion behind this trial. Maybe give us your personal perspective and what it's been like for you to cover this trial.
Well, Maria, it's been a lot. I for those that don't know, I actually attended BYU Idaho, and I lived in Rexburg at the time the children were reported missing, at the time their bodies were found. This really all has come full circle for me as a reporter, just to be able to see in the next 15 minutes how this plays out, at least on Lori's end. Obviously, Chad's trial is still to come. That could take some time, but it has been a very, very difficult case. It weighs on media members more than I think people think. I mean, especially if I can just talk me for a sec, just having a child with autism and seeing what happened to JJ, it is a lot to take in. And I think that's why some of these things hit people. I've met some people from all over the country that have traveled here to see how this plays out, because it touches a lot of people. It's been weighing on people for years, and I think people are just ready to see how justice plays out and hopefully be able to heal.
All right. One final question for you, Adam. This is attention that this community has not ever seen before, or not in the recent past. How is the community just impacted to all of the attention, the national news media attention that it's getting?
Well, for Boise, just hosting this trial, I mean, they've embraced it. They've prepared for it. I think it's been a very new experience for them, but I think they're taking it well. They're embracing it. They're trying to make sure that, you know, the press has an opportunity to cover this, that everyone who needs to be here can be here. But I do have to give credit to Boise, to Ada County authorities, workers, everyone here at the courthouse has done an amazing job of taking this all in. This is not a typical scene, like you said, for a city like Boise, as big as it is, but especially the impact that this case left on Eastern Idaho, where these crimes took place. As a guy who lived in Rexburg for 4 years, that town, it hurt. It hurt. Even nearby towns, Idaho Falls held a vigil for the kids just after their bodies were found. It hurts these little towns because you don't see things like this happen in them. And even in a case like this, you don't see something like this happen at all. I mean, we're seeing this case end up on, like, documentaries, true crime. It's just, it's bizarre. And it it affects a lot of people.
Okay, before we let you go, just one more time for us, describe what you are seeing right now in the courtroom.
Yeah, Maria, right now the court is full. I'm starting to see, looks like the court photographer just walked in. The prosecution's back in, just waiting on the judge, waiting on the jury. Lori, we're still waiting for her to come in, but we know this verdict's going to be read in about 10 minutes, but it is a packed house and a lot of anticipation, a lot of people on the edge of their seats right now.
All right, thank you. That is Adam Small reporting live from the courthouse in Boise, and the verdict expected to be read in about 11 minutes, and we will have that for you here on KSL News Radio.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas has been following this case closely. He joins me now in studio. And Greg, is a quick verdict good news for the prosecution?
I would say it's very good news for the prosecution, Maria. And it was unexpected. Even a lot of us who felt the prosecution had a strong case felt that with a jury of 12 and the number of counts and the amount of evidence that they'd heard over the last 5 weeks, that they would probably deliberate certainly throughout today, maybe even coming back next week. So I think a quick verdict means that the state put on a very compelling case and the jury didn't have much to discuss when they went back in the jury room.
I had asked Adam this, but I'm going to ask you, Greg. Were there any facts that came to light during this trial that could result in charges against anyone else?
No. I mean, that's a great question. And I would say probably no. I think the state of Idaho has chosen their targets here. I think that there were a lot of facts that came out in this case that point very badly for Chad. I mean, he certainly had to have watched this trial thinking, you know, my case isn't going to go much better. But he did have a snapshot of her case. But I don't think there are others involved here that that would have come out from this trial. And I know what you're saying, but really the only other person that was really bad is deceased, and that's Lori's brother. So I just don't see who else could be charged. Right.
So the most surprising moment for you, the most surprising thing about this trial?
Was that the state withheld so much in their opening remarks. I would have expected them to come out and tell the jury everything they're going to hear, which is what you typically do. Opening statement is a roadmap. Here's what you're going to hear. Instead, they said sort of just this vague power, money, and sex. And then they did a good job of presenting their case. I just would have expected to hear more at the outset. And then the defense from the beginning was, you know, they're not going to be able to prove their case. The defense really didn't do anything except sort of chip away at the state's case.
So, yeah, tell me about the defense. That was a very short case that they put forward.
Yeah, I mean, really no case. But Maria, that was their angle from the beginning. I was there for opening remarks, and the defense said, there is reasonable doubt. You're not going to have enough evidence when the state's finished to convict this woman beyond a reasonable doubt. And there's certainly going to be doubt. And that was their defense from the beginning. It was their defense throughout the trial. And it was their defense in not putting on any evidence because they don't have to. And in their closing remarks, when they said members of the jury, the state just didn't cover its burden. They didn't carry the day.
What are you going to be looking forward to as this verdict is read?
Well, there were a number of counts. And so it's going to be interesting to see how the jury decided each one. I would assume, Maria, that with a quick verdict that they weren't sort of haggling about certain counts. My guess is this quick verdict is very bad for Lori, and most likely it's going to be convicted of all counts. And then the judge will schedule a sentencing probably, you know, 30 to 60 days from now to get the probation department an opportunity to get the judge as much information about her as possible. She won't be sentenced today under any circumstance. That'll occur at a later date. And then, of course, the post-trial motions, appeals, that type of thing will come in.
You have been a part of so many trials. What stands out for you about this one?
It really just grabs so much attention. I mean, you don't see cases where a parent harms their own child. I mean, that is so rare. It is so rare. And it was so troublesome to so many people, especially a mother and a child, because that relationship is just one of the most powerful things we have. And so it really surprised me. And I think it surprised a lot of people that she could have done this. And so the state really did a good job of saying, yes, not only could she, but she did.
All right, Greg, thank you for your insight.
You bet.
And again, we are just a few minutes away from hearing the verdict in the Lori Vallow Daybell murder case. The jury is expected to come back to the courtroom at any moment, and the verdict is expected to be read here in the next few moments. KSL News Radio's Hugo Ricard-Bell joins me live in the studio with his perspective. And you've been listening to all of this coverage, Hugo, and kind of give me your perspective.
Well, I was most interested, I suppose, in the closing arguments from the defense. Like Greg just said, they didn't really put up much of a case the whole time. They did a little bit of cross-examining, but it wasn't as intense as I suppose people expected. But my whole view of the court when I was there was there were two defense attorneys, and John Thomas, he did a lot of the hardline questioning in the cross defense of those, the FBI agents, the detectives, and that sort of thing. And then Jim Archibald, the other guy, he sort of spoke a lot to the civilian witnesses, the family, and that sort of thing. And he came across very sort of, how would you say? I suppose you would say very sort of caring, kind natured. He was the one that when you saw Lori, you know, make a joke or talk to one of them, she did definitely lean towards Jim Archibald. And then he was the one who gave the closing statements. And I'm no legal expert, but I was quite shocked at how strong the defense did come through. I was surprised. They really did raise questions about certain prosecution. They didn't definitively say she did not do this, but what they did do is they raised that air of doubt, which is what their whole job was.
All right. Becky Bruce has also joined us in the studio here. And just to both of you, before we do hear the verdicts, let's talk about what the charges are and what we could expect to hear.
Yeah, there are six felony charges in all here, and only two of them are actually murder. So Lori Vallow Daybell is charged with first-degree murder for the death of Tylee Ryan and first-degree murder for the death of J.J. Vallow. But beyond that, she's also charged with conspiracy to commit first-degree murder and grand theft by deception for the death of Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallow. Conspiracy to commit first-degree murder for the death of Tammy Daybell, and then grand theft with deception related to some Social Security survivor benefits that should have been JJ and Tylee's from the deaths of their respective fathers. So it's a really complicated case, and while most of the attention has been focused on the actual murders themselves, you know, we learned a lot during this case. We did not know until opening arguments how they believed that JJ and Tylee had died. We didn't know a lot of the exactly how they felt like Lori might have been involved. We learned that through the case, but we also learned a lot about where that theft came in, where those accusations came from.
And Hugo, you can go ahead. You're shaking your
okay.
head. You go
no,
ahead.
No, I wasn't shaking my head. I was nodding. That's my my boss there. What Becky was saying, I think the prosecution really hammered the murder side of it, particularly the conspiracy. It's very until that hair part came out, the hair on the duct tape. It was very difficult to put Lori Vallow Daybell in the room, but. And that's where those text messages and we heard a lot from text message analysts, data analysts explaining that, oh, well, around the time, you know, we believe JJ was murdered, there was a lot of communication between Chad and Lori and Alex and Lori and the three of them. So they really sort of hammered in that they were all in this together for sure.
Yeah, and this was a story of a lot of complicated relationships, too. I feel like all of us covering this behind the scenes have done a lot of work to just educate ourselves on the who's who of this case. There are so many players involved beyond the two missing children. You have Lori Vallow Daybell herself. You have Chad. You have Chad's former wife. You have Lori's former husband. You have Alex Cox. You have Alex Cox's wife, who was also Lori's friend. You have multiple friends of both of them. It was a lot to try and keep up with, and I felt like just from a pure analyzing and keeping things straight standpoint, the prosecution did a really good job of helping us understand just the who's who of everybody involved.
They really laid out that roadmap. The other thing I found really fascinating was just the intensity of the religious belief between the three of them. And it's rough to call it even religious belief because it's so foreign, but that intensity, you know, Laurie believed every bit of it. So did Chad, so did Alex. For them not to have those text messages, the way they upheld them, the light and the dark, the consistent talk, it sort of demonstrated that it wasn't just an act or something to use as an excuse. They believed every word of that. And so that really played a strong part in the trial and the prosecution.
You're right. That belief system is hard to like link to a religion, but more of a belief system.
Yeah. And I think that there you've got a little bit of a difference of opinion between the defense and the prosecution. Obviously, the defense is going to argue that, you know, they wholeheartedly believed this system of beliefs and that, you know, this was not so much Laurie committing a crime as being they tried to paint her almost as a victim. Right. Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, you have the prosecution saying, no, they were using these beliefs as a justification, but their real motivation was money, sex and power, which was a theme that they came back to both at the beginning and the end of the trial.
The defense used a good they came back at it pretty hard on that sex, money and power. The money side of it was, well, you know, Chad earned so much less than Charles. Why would they? So, you know, why would she make that? I think the defense actually made a joke saying, you know, is this really a level up? Charles Vallow made so much more money. So it really did cast the doubt on the, you know, sex, money and power side of it.
All right. Excuse me, Hugo. I'm a little bit distracted because I am watching the courtroom as well to see when they are going to read this verdict. Outside the courtroom, I've been watching our TV partners and the crowd has been growing outside of the courtroom as well. And again, we have understood, Becky, that this is going to begin at 12:45, and we are just kind of leading you into this.
Yeah, so just for people who can't see what we're looking at, if you have the KSL News Radio app, you can actually see this on the screen right now. We have a live link to the courthouse in Boise up on the screen, and it's just a blank slate, if you will, that says starting soon. So there's not really anybody to watch. There's not really anything to listen to yet. We know because we have some coworkers who are in the courtroom right now that it's quite a busy and active place. There's a lot of people having hushed, quiet conversations on cell phones waiting for the action to begin. This is the first time during the trial that we've been allowed to watch and listen to what's happening live. And that is kind of a big deal here. If you recall early on with a lot of the hearings before we got to the trial itself, a lot of that was live streamed. But before the case went to trial itself, the judge decided no more cameras, no more live streams. So this is unique in our experience of the trial.
And just talking about our co-workers in the room, I've been talking to Kyle Dunphy and Lauren Steinbecker just while we've been chatting now, and they gave me a little bit of color in the courtroom. It's absolutely packed with all the former witnesses, a lot of police witnesses and a small group of family, a lot of reporters, but also plenty of members of the public. And that was the really surprising thing for me, was just how many people had traveled for this case. Adam Small talked about it earlier. A lot of people who are not only emotionally tied to this, maybe because of their own children and that sort of thing, but also, you know, it did garner because of the Netflix documentary and stuff, the true crime fans and that sort of thing. So we saw a lot of people you wouldn't expect to see in a courtroom. According to Kyle Dunphy from Deseret News, Kay and Larry, they're all sitting there. They're ready to go.
And just for clarity, that's J.J. Vallow's grandparents,
yes.
Kay and Larry Woodcock.
Yes, sorry. Kay and Larry Woodcock. Sorry, I'm reading out of a group chat. They're sitting. They're ready to go. I think like what we're doing right now, they're all anticipating and watching this screen.
Right. I'm watching outside the courtroom as well, and a sizable crowd outside of the courtroom, but not just a crowd, many, many TV photographers, many cameras outside the courtroom. This case has garnered national attention. And again, we are expecting at any minute to hear the verdict in the Laurie Vallow Daybell case. That verdict coming from the district court, the 7th Judicial District Court out of Idaho. You can see it on our live stream as well. We are watching that and waiting for it to begin.
Yeah, this is the Ada County Courthouse. Hugo was up there for a full week at one point during the proceedings. Our colleague Amy Kobabe went up there for the opening arguments, and now Adam Small is there here for the end of the case. Hugo, just for those who don't maybe know Boise, because all of this really, like the local angle of it was more Rexburg, Pocatello, that area. What is that area like there in downtown Boise? Is this kind of a central part of the downtown area?
This is pretty close, Becky, and I think we can probably get back. I'm just seeing on the screen right now, the bailiff is reading everyone the right act. It's okay to have emotions, but it's not okay to project those onto others he's writing. But just to quickly answer your question, it's relatively central to Boise. Boise, to me, felt like a very, very big country town. Everyone seemed to know everyone. I mean, just even some of the local Boise journalists, you know, a lot of people coming up and talking to them like they've known them for years and that sort of thing. So, yeah, this is huge for this city. You know, so I think they're ready for it to finish.
You did mention the bailiff giving instructions to those who are in the courtroom. We also understand that Lori is not in the courtroom yet. We are also waiting for her to be there. But there are a variety of people that have to be in the courtroom when a verdict is read. So, Becky, maybe you could help us describe who has to be there before they can actually read the verdict.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there are some due process rights to consider here. So anytime you've charged somebody with a crime, you're taking away certain of their rights. And as a result, the Constitution says that they also have other rights that then take place. One of those would be the right to hear the charges against them and to face their accuser. And so as a result, you definitely need the defendant to be present when the verdict is read. In addition, you would have the prosecution and the defense would both be gathered, but also anybody who would potentially be considered a victim. So in this case, a lot of the family members of J.J. Vallo and Tylee Ryan, even extended family members, were both considered witnesses and victims in this particular case. And therefore, they have a right to be there for this part of the trial. And, you know, court proceedings typically are open to the public. So even beyond, you know, your right and my right to be there, there's the right of just anybody who wants to witness this. Of course, there's limited space. So the courthouse, Ada County Courthouse, has done a lot of work to try and mitigate the traffic going in and out and make sure that things are still safe while allowing for as many people as possible to witness what's happening.
Adam Small is in the courtroom. He's covering this for us live, and he did describe for us earlier how strained it is, the hushed comments in the courtroom. We know that the bailiff has given the instructions to the crowd that are gathered there, and we know that this is a packed courtroom and is garnering a lot of media attention from outside of the state of Idaho, across the country.
Yeah, we know that our affiliate ABC News has Alex Stone there in the courtroom today, in addition to our own local reporters who are covering it. There are people from all over the world who've been assigned to cover this case. Plus, as Hugo was saying, just, you know, true crime fans who have become personally invested as time has gone on. So it's quite the crowd. Adam was telling me earlier this morning there was a line two blocks out of the courthouse door waiting to get a seat inside.
Okay, Becky, as we wait, let's get another perspective on this verdict set to come down at any moment. ABC News chief legal analyst Dan Abrams has more on what he thinks is going to happen.
I don't think a not guilty verdict is an option here. The question is going to be, is it guilty? Possibly a hung jury always. And if guilty, exactly what would she be guilty of? And I do think there isn't much of a defense to present here for her. They're simply saying maybe some other people did it. And really interestingly, apparently Lori got angry. People inside the courtroom said when her lawyers started suggesting that Chad may have been responsible, she is still that tied to him that she got upset when her own lawyer was suggesting that her husband had done it.
And again, we are standing by with the live stream ready to go. We will carry this verdict as it is announced in the courtroom live from the Boise County courtroom. Becky Bruce, I think we have a lot of people who are joining us just going to lunch right now, and we need them to know that we are standing by for the verdict to be read in the Lori Vallo Daybell case. And again, let's reset and just talk about the charges against Lori, what we're expecting to hear.
Yeah, there's been a lot of attention on the two murder charges, actually three, really. But there's actually a total of six felony charges that Lori Vallo Daybell is facing. Two of them are first-degree murder for the death of Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallo. The prosecution, of course, arguing that while she may not have committed the actual act of murder, her involvement makes her just as culpable, is their argument. In addition to that, there's conspiracy to commit first-degree murder and grand theft by deception, and that's for both the death of Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallo. Then there's conspiracy to commit first-degree murder for the death of Tammy Daybell, who is Chad Daybell's first wife, and grand theft with deception related to the Social Security survivor benefits that J.J. and Tylee would have received from the deaths of their fathers.
And we are expecting the verdict to be read at any moment. Let's bring back ABC News legal contributor and host of the Law and Crime Network, Brian Buckmeyer. He has more on what the jury will need to consider here.
I think they're really nitpicking. I think they really listened to the defense, and they're trying to see what that connective tissue between what Chad did, what Lori did afterwards, and whether or not she actually murdered them or simply just conspired.
So again, Becky, this jury came back very quickly. We have heard from Greg Skordis, our legal analyst, that that probably means that she is going to be convicted. We are not going to assume that that's going to happen. But this was pretty quick. What? How many hours were they out? A day and a half, right?
Not even a day and a half. Yeah. So it went to the jury late yesterday afternoon. And we received word at about 11:50 this morning that they had received a verdict. And that was after having, you know, adjourned for the evening. Right. So maybe an hour or two yesterday and a couple of hours this morning.
And Hugo Ricard Bell is also in the studio with us this hour. And Hugo, you have been in the courtroom. You covered this trial for many days. Give us your perspective.
The real focus, I think the prosecution are definitely gunning for the physical murder charges. But I think at the very least, they are really heart set on the conspiracy, which still carries, you know, obviously hefty terms as well. It'll be really interesting to me to see just how many of the case of the charges she is found guilty or not guilty of. That'll be, you know, because people do forget, like Becky said, there are six. There are six charges that people need to be aware of. So, I mean, it's the clock is ticking, and I tell you what, I think we're all sitting here with a lot of anticipation. I've just had a text message from Adam Small. The doors have been locked. And still no Lori Vallo Daybell yet.
Okay, appreciate that, Hugo. Becky, we've been talking a lot about the different evidence, the strand of Lori's hair on the tape. But there were also, I think, some of the significant evidence came from just the huge number of text messages.
It was an intense number of text messages that were detailed, all saved from, as I understand it, Lori Vallo Daybell's iCloud account. You know, I'm not an expert on the types of communications that people might have in the midst of a breakup or a new relationship. But I think what the prosecution was trying to do with those was paint a picture of this was not necessarily a mother in mourning like you might expect. That this was a woman potentially celebrating a new relationship was the picture that they were trying to paint as they had those text messages read in court. It was particularly dramatic, I want to say, the last 2 to 3 days worth of testimony as they had an FBI agent in the courtroom helping to detail some of those communications and what was going on at the same time. I think they were trying to also draw conclusions about the timeline, that the messages were coming through at the same time that, you know, Tammy Daybell was still alive. Charles Vallo had only been dead for like a month or something, right? And so all of that was being used to help create this big picture of the situation between Lori Vallo Daybell and Chad Daybell, and to, I think, try to show Lori as not so much an innocent victim or a bystander.
We heard this morning from the grandfather of J.J. Vallo, who spoke outside of the courthouse. Our team of reporters was also there for that conversation. And he said after such a long road, he's just happy that the verdict is coming.
I feel wonderful. I do. Got up this morning listening to Willie. How can you start to have a bad day waking up listening to Willie? That is J.J. and I's song.
We are hearing some rumblings inside the courtroom, and we are actually now seeing video from inside of the courtroom. So I'm going to bring that up so you can hear that in the background. And again, we are standing by. It looks like the attorneys are standing in the courtroom. And we are standing by to hear the verdict for Lori Vallo Daybell in her case. Again, we're waiting for the verdict to be read on six separate charges.
Adam is messaging us. He says the courtroom right now is dead silent with people just on the edge of their seats waiting for this action to begin.
Lori's just walked in as well and sat between her attorneys.
And now they are seated. It seriously is dead silence.
Yeah. It looks like they're just waiting for Judge Stephen Boyce to walk in at this stage.
Now it says just judge and jury holding this up now. So I understand that we're still waiting for the jury now to be brought in now that Lori is in place.
And again, for those of you who are just tuning in, we are carrying live coverage of the Boise courtroom where the jury is expected to read the verdict at any moment now for Lori Vallow Daybella and the six charges against her.
Interesting to have this ability to see a look into the courtroom when for so long we've not had this point of view. Hugo knows at several points during the trial, they were actually admonishing the reporters in the room to stop typing so loud. So it's really interesting to hear how quiet things are right now by comparison.
Yeah, absolutely. And just looking at this group chat that the reporters are in, Lori, when she walked in, she's wearing black shawl, black pants. She's got pursed lips, no glasses this time. And she looks for what has been probably one of the first times in this trial, very, very serious. She's not laughing like she has been in the past. I think the weight of what's about to happen is dawning.
And given the silence in the courtroom, I mean, usually if you've been in a courtroom, you will hear people kind of whispering in the background. And at this point, we are not here. I have it up full audio so that our listeners can hear what's happening. And there really is not a sound in that courtroom.
No, I mean, that's been pretty indicative, though, of what it is like when you are sitting there. I mean, no one talks once Lori walks in and that sort of thing.
Sounds like maybe we're about to get some.
All rise.
Here we go.
District Court's now in session. Honorable Stephen Boyce, judge presiding.
Thank you. Please be seated.
The judge preparing to
read the
verdict.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are going on the record. I'm the court reporter. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. This is case CR 22-21-162, State of Idaho versus Noreen Vallow. The matter before the court today is for a verdict in the jury trial that's been conducted over the last several weeks in this case. The court will note on the record, prosecution is here represented by Mr. Wood, Ms. Blake, and Ms. Smith. The defense, Mr. Archibald, Mr. Thomas are present as well as the defendant who is present. The court's been advised that the jury has reached a verdict at this time. Is the state ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is the defense ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Very well. Let's have the jurors brought in, please. While the jurors are being brought in, I'd like to indicate that this matter is being live streamed on the court's YouTube channel. In addition, the court's existing conduct order is in effect and everyone needs to comply with that conduct order. This verdict has several counts. The court is going to require that all in attendance abstain from any sort of loud outbursts or sounds that could in any way affect the proceedings in this matter as the counts are read in the verdict. And I expect to maintain order and decorum as has been the case throughout this trial with those in attendance. So please keep that in mind once we get to the stage of these proceedings. So with that in mind, if the jurors are ready, they can be seated.
All right, please. Jury's all present, Your Honor.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. All right, the court will note that we had alternate jurors that were excused upon deliberations, so now The remaining 12 jurors who have deliberated are here and appear to all be properly seated. Will counsel stipulate that the jury is all present and properly seated from the state?
Yes, Your Honor.
Will the defense will stipulate?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, at this time, the court will inquire then from the jury. Has the jury reached a verdict?
Yeah.
Very well. If you have the verdict form, I'd ask the bailiff bring that over here and we'll have it brought to the clerk to be read. All right, the court has reviewed the verdict form, find that it's been properly completed, signed and dated. So at this time, I'll direct the clerk to please read the verdict into the record. The defendant would please rise.
In the District Court of the 7th Judicial District of the State of Idaho, in and for the County of Fremont, State of Idaho Plaintiff versus Lori Noreen Ballow, aka Lori Noreen Daybell, Defendant, case number CR22211624. Verdict. We, the jury, duly impaneled and sworn to try the above entitled action, for our verdict, unanimously answer the questions submitted to us as follows. Question number one. In regards to count one of the amended indictment, is Lori Noreen Ballow not guilty or guilty of conspiracy to commit first-degree murder of Tylee Ryan and grand theft by deception? Answer, guilty. Question number two. In regards to count two of the amended indictment, is Lori Noreen Ballow not guilty or guilty of first-degree murder of Tylee Ryan? Answer, guilty. Question number three, in regards to count three of the amended indictment, is Lori Noreen Ballow not guilty or guilty of conspiracy to commit first-degree murder of Joshua Jackson Ballow and grand theft by deception? Answer, guilty. Question number four, in regards to count four of the amended indictment, is Lori Noreen Ballow not guilty or guilty of first-degree murder of Joshua Jackson Ballow? Answer, guilty. Question number five. In regards to count five of the amended indictment, is Lori Noreen Ballow not guilty or guilty of conspiracy to commit first-degree murder of Tammy Daybell? Answer, guilty. Question number six, in regards to count seven of the amended indictment, is Lori Noreen Ballow not guilty or guilty of grand theft? Answer, guilty. Dated this 12th day of May, 2023, signed by the presiding officer.
All right, please be seated. Madam Clerk, thank you for reading the verdict into the record. At this time, let me just inquire of the jury, is this in fact your true and correct verdict?
Yes.
Thank you. Let me ask now from counsel, does the state wish to have the jury polled?
We do not, Your Honor.
Does the defense wish to have the jury polled?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, the jury will be polled at this time. Madam Clerk, if you would please indicate only by juror numbers of each of the jurors if this is their true and correct verdict individually.
Juror number four, is this your true and correct verdict?
Yes, it is.
Juror number five, is this your true and correct verdict?
Yes.
Juror number six, is this your true and correct verdict?
Yes.
Juror number eight, is this your true and correct verdict?
Yes.
Juror number nine, is this your true and correct verdict?
Yes.
Juror number 10, is this your true and correct verdict?
Yes.
Juror number 11, is this your true and correct verdict?
Yes.
Juror number 12, is this your true and correct verdict?
Yes.
Juror number 13, is this your true and correct verdict?
Yes.
Juror number 14, is this your true and correct verdict?
Yes.
Juror number 15, is this your true and correct verdict?
Yes.
Juror number 16, is this your true and correct verdict?
Yes.
All right, thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. The court does find it's a unanimous verdict in this case, so I will direct the clerk to record the verdict into the record of this case.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.